Chapter 7 Zanzibar 25 minutes later, when Sam climbed back aboard the Andreal, he found Remy sitting in a deck chair, casually sipping a bottle of Kenyan Tusker beer. Their guest, Yaotl, lay like a defeated gamefish on the deck, back bent, wrists bound to his feet. These, in turn, knotted to the nearest cleat. He was still unconscious. "Welcome back," she said, handing him a beer. "How'd the mishap go?" "They seem to have bought it. How's he?" "Bad lump on the side of the head, but he's breathing fine. Aside from an ugly headache that'll last a day or two, he'll survive." "He was well armed." She nodded to two objects lying at her feet. One was the knife they knew about, the other a semi-automatic pistol. Sam hefted it. Heckler & Koch P-30, 9mm, 15-round magazine. "How in the world do you know?" Sam shrugged. "No idea. I store trivia. Can't help it. Unless I'm mistaken, this isn't a civilian gun. They're only sold to law enforcement and military." "So our guest here is, or was, either a cop or a soldier?" "Or someone with back-channel influence. Did you find anything else on him?" "Not so much as pocket lint. No wallet, no identification. And his clothes and shoes are local. I checked the tags." "Professionals, then?" "Seems so," Remy said. "As for the cookies we left for Santa..." "We saw what they thought of the Adelaide's coin. Tossed it away like a penny. But the ginned-up notepad was another story." Before setting the stage for their guests, Sam and Remy had decided there were 5 possibilities the mystery man, Hawknose, was interested in. 1, the Adelaide's coin. 2, the bell. 3, the Fargos themselves. 4, something he was worried they might find. Or 5, nothing. The Molehill Mountain scenario. Their ruse had ruled out numbers 1 and 5 and seemed to rule in numbers 2, 3, and 4. Sam and Remy had filled the notepad mostly with nonsensical scribbles and numbers, save one area. A side-view diagram of a ship's bell, and below it a time, 2 p.m., a place, Chukwani Point Road, and a phone number provided by Selma that, when called, would be answered by Umnazi Freyden Hall. If Hawknose took this bait, they could be reasonably certain his interest lay with the bell. This, of course, raised the questions of how Hawknose had learned about the bell. Sam and Remy had told no one except Selma. Since Hawknose hadn't paid his visit before they'd raised the bell using Sam's raft, could it be attributed to someone having spotted the bell as they moved it to the lagoon? But then again, they'd seen no one in the area, either onshore or offshore. "It'll be dawn soon," Sam said. "Let's gather our booty and find a place to lie low until we can find us some different accommodations." "And him?" Remy asked, nodding to Yaotl. "We'd better move him inside. Don't want him getting broken, do we?" Once Yaotl was secure in the cabin, they raised anchor and crossed the lagoon to where they'd hidden the bell raft. After towing it closer to the beach, Sam jumped over the side and maneuvered it until the bell was floating a foot off the bottom. "Leverage," Sam muttered to himself. "Remy, I need the hatchet from the toolbox." She collected it and handed it down. Sam then waded ashore and disappeared into the trees with a flashlight. Remy listened as he moved about in the darkness. Twigs breaking, the thunk of wood striking wood, a few hushed curses, then a few minutes of chopping. 5 minutes later he returned carrying a pair of palm saplings, each 8 feet long and 4 inches across. Into each end he had chopped a notch. He handed the poles to Remy, then climbed aboard. "Care to share your plan?" she asked. Sam gave her a wink. "Don't want to spoil the fun. We're going to need daylight, though." The wait was short. 10 minutes after they watched the first yellow-orange tinges of sunrise over to the east, they went into action. Sam untied the raft, jumped into the water, and rotated the raft so the side with the three protruding logs were facing the beach. He straddled the outer log, causing it to sink 6 inches, and called, "All back slow!" "All back slow," Remy replied. The engines rumbled to life. The Andreal backed up until the transom bumped into the raft. "Keep coming," Sam called. Between his weight and the Andreal's horsepower, the protruding logs dipped beneath the surface and began burrowing into the sand. The water beneath the Andreal's stern turned to froth. When the logs were embedded a foot into the sand, Sam called, "All stop!" Remy throttled down and walked to the stern. Sam ducked under the raft and emerged in its center beneath the transom. "I'm going to push up on this crossbeam, and you're going to pull," he said. "Got it." Working together, they manhandled the log onto the gunwale with the protruding ends jutting over the afterdeck. Remy stood back and wiped her hands. "I think I see where you're going with this." She recited, "Give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum on which to place it, and I shall move the world," Sam finished. "Archimedes." Using the hatchet, Sam chopped a notch into each end of log resting on the gunwale. Next, he picked up one of the saplings, handed it to Remy, then grabbed his own. "Now the trick part," Sam said. Each of them placed the notched tip of a sapling into the corresponding notch on the log, then braced the other end against the port and starboard cleats, respectively. "Care to do the honors?" Sam asked.
"Where are you going to be?"
"In the cabin with you. If those saplings let go, we don't want to be anywhere near them. Slow back, if you will." Remy engaged the throttle and eased the Andreal backward. Slowly the front edge of the raft began rising. The saplings trembled and bent like a pair of bows being drawn. The logs groaned. Inch by inch the bell rose from the water until its mouth was even with the gunwale. "Hold here," Sam said. "Steerage way only." He grabbed the remainder of the anchor line and padded onto the afterdeck, his eyes darting from one trembling sapling to the other. At the transom he leaned out, knotted the line around the bell's crown, then backed into the cabin, uncoiling line as he went. "All back slow," he murmured. Remy leaned back and whispered in his ear, "If we drop that thing through the deck, I'm pretty sure we're going to lose our deposit." Sam chuckled. "We've got AAA. The Andreal eased backward. The saplings kept bending, creaking. Gingerly, Sam took up the slack in the line. The bell slid over the gunwale, bounced on the lip, and started swinging.
"Sam," Remy warned.
"I know," Sam muttered. "Hold it here. Easy." He spun around, darted down the ladder, and emerged 10 seconds later carrying a mattress. In a double-handed bowler's motion, he slid the mattress down the deck to the transom. "Gun it!" he called. Remy jammed the throttle to its stops. Sam heaved back on the line. Like overlapping gunshots, the saplings snapped and twirled away. With a dull thunk, the bell crashed into the mattress, rolled onto its side, and went still.